Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. This Advent season, we've taken a look at three words. You remember them well. You know them from your youth. Stop, look, and listen. So we're out of words. Today's going to be a challenge. I hope it's a challenge to you, because Christmas should challenge us as followers of Jesus. Dear friends, we have a couple of spectating events in the week ahead. The first one comes tomorrow night. You probably already know about it. Tomorrow night, the longest night of the year, Monday, December 21st, the Christmas star is going to appear off in the horizon in the southwest. Actually, it's not a star. It's, if you've read about it, all it is an amazing event. The aligning of two planets, Jupiter and Saturn, way off in the distance. It's on that particular night, this Monday, that those planets will be about 450 million miles apart and lined up just perfectly so that if you're sitting there on your front porch, you just see this illuminating glow like a star off in the distance. But it's really two planets that are just aligned just right. This is the rarest of occurrences. The last time this happened was back in 1623. Were any of you alive back then? No, I don't think so. The next time will be in 2080. Some of us may be alive then. And then the next time after that is not until maybe 2400, the year 2400. It's also thought on that night that you'll see it. The brightness will be so amazing that you'll be able to see some of the moons with your binoculars of Saturn and Jupiter. But here's the thing. As a spectator, there's a chance that this event won't really move you to do anything. That's what happens when you're a spectator. To put it simply, Monday will come, you'll go to bed, then Tuesday you'll wake up and have a nice thought about what happened, what you saw outside, but then 5 months down the road will come, 5 years will come down the road, and the Christmas star of 2020 will just be just a distant thought. It will not have impacted you, because that's what it is. It's a spectating event. Move forward on your calendar this week. Something else is coming. Christmas. Yes, we heard the story here in a spectacular way by our youth. We're so thankful for their voices and their perspective here this morning. Christmas is kind of a spectating event, isn't it? We take in all those decorations. That's great. In our house, we carefully take out each ornament, and it reminds us where we were and what we were doing in a particular year, and we talk about that as we place the ornaments on the tree. There's those Christmas movies that I'm sure you're watching. It's great to just take those in and watch them. And then we have the Christmas story itself. We're spectators to this story. There's wonderful parts to look at in the Christmas story. The angel speaking to Joseph, the angel speaking to Mary, the angel speaking to the shepherd, the inn, Bethlehem, the star. I can just imagine what it all looks like here in our sanctuary when we have that Christmas program here, spectating. But here's the challenge. If we're just spectators, we're not being moved. It's not making an impact. Kind of like packing all those ornaments back into the boxes, we kind of pack the Christmas story away for another year. 5 months passes by. 5 years passes by. And we think of a Christmas, we don't really think about how it has really impacted us. That's why I want to read this little passage from Titus. And it reminds us, Paul reminds us of what Christmas is really all about. This little passage between Paul and Timothy. Paul says this, "For the grace of God appeared, bringing salvation for all people." Now that's Christmas. That's why this reading is always read right around Christmas. That just described Christmas. "For the grace of God appeared, bringing salvation for all people." But then Paul goes on. It's not for spectating. The word that he uses is this. It's for training. Christmas is not about spectating, it's about training? Pastor, that's not what I wanted to hear today. I want to slow down here because I think I know what you're thinking. That word training is a hard one to hear. In fact, in the Greek, the original Greek, paidousa, that refers to what you do for a child to train them in remedial tasks. Paul says Christmas is for training. Pastor, I don't like that word. I'm 70 years old. I know the story. I don't need to be trained. Pastor, I have my opinions. I don't need any kind of training. Now, you're not arguing with me. You're arguing with Paul, God's holy word. Christmas is for training. Now, if you ever know anything about training, sure, I'm sure you've trained before. Training really does two things. Whether you're doing exercises or you're doing some sort of new hobby, training does two things. You begin to stop doing certain things, and you begin to add some things to your life. And that is what Paul is exactly talking about in verse 12. The things to be taken away, the word there in the Greek is renounce. In other words, cut yourself away from these things completely. Paul says, cut this away completely. The two things are ungodliness and worldly passions. Set those aside. And then positively, Paul says, add to your life self-control, uprightness, and godliness. Now again, whenever you're training, you stop doing some things, eating potato chips, eating after 5 p.m., you stop doing those things, you add some things, you exercise, you start eating fruits and vegetables. That's training. Paul's saying Christmas is for training. Training. Exercising our muscles, our spiritual muscles. Training, that may not be all that exciting, but training can be excellent for us. And you probably know that and understand that. Because what training does is it allows us to be ready for that critical moment so that we can show that we're in shape, so that we're ready for the moment. Probably one of the most embarrassing moments of any baseball player, from what I've read, is when a baseball player gets called up to the major leagues and they're not ready. They haven't trained. The major league club has lost their shortstop. He has a torn ACL. They call down to the AAA. The shortstop down there is injured as well. And they call down to the AA to bring that guy up. Well, he's only 19 years old. He hasn't trained, and he's never seen a 98-mile-per-hour fastball. And so when he gets put up to the major leagues, it's an outright embarrassment, and it exposes him for what he's not ready to do. And it perhaps sticks with that player for the rest of their life. Now, on the other hand, the most exciting part of a baseball player's career is when they get called up to the major leagues, and they are ready. They've trained, and they're ready for that 98-mile-per-hour fastball. The scouts take it in. The rookie is a sensation. The city just oohs and ahs over that player. Paul is saying here in this text, actually, in verse 13, this, we train, waiting for the blessed hope, the appearing of Jesus. So it'll be one day in which you are called to the major leagues. Christmas gets us going. What Jesus did for us trains us, and we take away something, we add godliness into our lives so that when the day when he comes again, we're ready for that call to be with Jesus forever. Christmas is most definitely it's not about spectating at all. You know, in all stories, actually, we think of ourselves as spectators. We kind of sit on the sidelines and we think about the plot, and we might think about the characters and the movement that the author puts forth, and we might criticize on the sidelines and say, I would have done it this way, or I would have done it that way. But we're really not invested in the story. We close the book and put it back on the shelf for another time, another year, or for another person. Or we stop watching the movie and we move on with our lives. Christmas is not about spectating. You're being drawn in the story. The story is for you. Jesus was born for you so that you could be reconciled to God. Jesus died for you. Somebody had to pay the price for sin. He did it for you. Jesus rose from the tomb for you, not for himself. He didn't need to do it. He did it for you so that you could have the path to eternal life opened up forever. The danger is if we view Christmas as a spectator, we're going to pack it away like all the other ornaments in a couple of weeks for another time. Paul doesn't want us to do that, and neither do I. This story draws us in, brings us in, and challenges us. Think about this. What's one thing that's not helping you that you can put aside as a follower of Jesus? What's one thing that you can add to your life? Self-control, uprightness, godliness. There are lots of things that can fit into those categories, but think about that. Don't just be a spectator. Think about how this story trains you for Jesus' next coming. From what I've read, a lot of people have said the star that occurred, that original star that we saw in our children's Christmas program, that original star was another aligning of the planets way, way long ago. I don't believe that. And the reason why I don't believe that is because that star wasn't just for spectating. It drew people, the wise men, to Jesus. God guided that star to draw people to Jesus, to bring them into the story, to train them for following Jesus for their life. Follow that star. Invest your whole life to this story because it's for you. Train yourself in godliness. Amen.